I hit Big Mike up. What was that? Saturday night. Caught the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight on pay-per-view, and this was after game one of the Lakers, right? But I'll get to my Lakers in a minute. Let me get the boxing out of the way real quick. I hit Big Mike up, and I hit my group chat up, and I said, Devin, I said, Haney looking kind of shaky. You know what I'm saying? And so the group chat didn't respond at first, you know, and then we had Big Mike had responded and was like, you know, he probably, you know, getting, you know, it was the first, I want to say the first four rounds, first 3 to 4 rounds. When I sent the text, I think it was maybe the second or third or something like that, between 2 and 4. So I'm like, yo, he looking kind of shaky, right? But I put question mark. I'm like, he looking kind of shaky. I'm trying to see if I'm tripping, you know? And Big Mike responded like, yo, he getting his feet comfortable. You know what I'm saying? He's filling them out. You know how boxers, it may take half of the fight for them to actually fill out their opponent. You know what I'm saying? Get the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? And checking everything, making sure, hey, I'm not tripping. This is how we going to be. This is how this fight is going to go. So I seen something different in Ryan Garcia, dog. I just seen the confidence. That was it. I'm not sitting here trying to, because going in, I may have had put money on Haney. If I'm a betting man, then obviously you putting your money on Haney, because he looked like he was the favorite in the fight. I mean, throughout the whole debacle, you know what I mean? Haney was the one that was pointing out that Garcia's not taking the fight as serious and things like that. Now, prior to this fight, I didn't have no knowledge of them having 6 fights prior to that, right? 6 fights. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy, right? So to have 6 fights and they split it, they split the fights. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know. That's an interesting thing right there. They're basically 500 towards each other. So this is a game 7. You got to show up in a game 7. And this fight wasn't as big as other fights that we've had recently. You know what I'm saying? The Spence Crawford, you know, Tank fights is always big, and Tank is basically waiting on Haney. We already know about the sparring that they did, and, you know, well, this side is saying that, and, you know, Haney was this age when it happened, blah, 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 blah. Just building it up for their fight. That's the one that we really want to see. We never really put too much stock in Garcia, because Garcia has a lot of out the rings antics, if you want to call it, right? Man, Ryan Garcia whooped his ass. Not only that, I saw the confidence. Not about the skill set. Obviously, they both have elite skill sets, especially when it comes towards each other, because they split 3-3. They split it down the middle. Game 7, Haney did not show up at all. I'm not a Haney fan. I'm not a Ryan Garcia fan. I'm not much of a Tank. I'm what you call an above average casual boxing fan. I'm going to watch the fights that get a lot of talk. I'm showing up to the big ones. You know what I'm saying? I'm not following them throughout the rankings. I think there's only been maybe less than a handful of boxers that I've watched maybe their whole career, especially from the beginning, which is kind of hard to do in the beginning, because a lot of younger cats don't get a lot of TV time in the very beginning. You got to catch them in the local boxing rankings. You know what I'm saying? In person. So I just said, like, this was just pure eye test. Like, yo, Garcia picked up a lot of confidence between round 1, 2 and going into 3. After that, to me, it was pretty much over. Not saying that the fight was over, but a lot of people had Ryan Garcia going into that fight losing. Let's just be honest. I mean, some people might change their mind now, especially if we didn't get your predictions prior to the fight. But let's be honest. Haney was by far the favorite. If I go and check Vegas numbers, we're going to see how much money was put on Haney's side versus Garcia. Now, a smart man, you don't necessarily have to be a Ryan Garcia fan and or a Devin Haney hater. You just got to know that the money will always be with the underdogs. And that underdog whooped his ass. You know, it wasn't. Now, what Crawford did to Spence was a beating. That was a beatdown. I think Crawford beat up Spence thinking he was somebody else that owed him money and had sex with his girl. But what Ryan Garcia did to Haney, that was just, he beat his ass. He beat him up. He beat him up and he put him in line. That was a good fight. At the end of the day, and the only reason why it was a good fight is because the underdog showed up in a moment. And that's going to spill off into my Laker talk, because we are the underdogs in this matchup between the us and the Denver Nuggets. At the same time, we're never going to get the underdog love, or we're not going to get the underdog filter, so to speak, because we are the Lakers. No matter, and I'll stand on that. I'm going to stand on that. No matter which matchup we go into, no matter which number we are in that playoff seeding, we'll never be the underdog because of our past. And I take that, and I respect that, right? Here's the thing. Game one, this is a re-recorded episode, by the way. I didn't drop it. I had recorded the episode, I want to say, Sunday night. So this was before Monday's matchup. This is Tuesday afternoon, so I'm well aware of the outcome of game two. Game one, my sentiments was more like, yo, D-Lo got to show up. Darvin Ham has to eventually start coaching sooner or later. Our bigs, and when I mean our bigs, I'm not talking about our front court. I'm talking about our superstars. AD, Bron, they showed up. You can't expect too much from Bron that you would expect while he was in a Miami jersey or while he was in that Cleveland jersey, right? We know what we got. We know what we're going to get from Bron, right? And we know what we got to live and die by it, because just as much as I criticize him for shooting those dumbass step back threes or those pull up threes from long distance thinking that he's Curry, he knocked down two pivotal threes back to back that helped us. D-Lo stepped his game up, which I think he set a personal record for himself in the postseason with how many threes that he knocked down. Because prior to that, it wasn't enough. His production wasn't enough in game one. Neither was Austin Reeves or Rui, who actually showed up as well. They actually showed up in the second game. Game two was a perfect response. It wasn't a perfect game, but it was a perfect response to game one. Let me tell you what happened, and let me tell you why I blame us and not the refs, who is involved in this loss as well. Because you cannot give the refs an opportunity to decide a game. And that's what we were looking for. Bron has always done that his whole career, which is cry for foul calls. Again, some are warranted, some aren't. The D-Lo one, you got to give us that foul, okay? Bron going to the basket, gets hit, you got to give him that foul. At the same time, no call, get back on defense. Nobody picked up Murray full court. That's the problem. They let Murray get comfortable in that half-court setting. Perfect defender for the situation. AD, I give it. Out of 10, AD defended that maybe a 7.5 out of 10. I'm going to tell you why. If you pick Murray up full court, he doesn't get comfortable in that half court setting to pick his sweet spot to get that shot off. He already had comfortable distance between him and AD coming down court. He had the momentum. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's where I blame us, because if we get back on defense and don't cry about what wasn't called or don't cry about what Darvin Ham did or did not challenge, then this could be we might be going into overtime. And I am absolutely okay with losing in overtime, because overtime is just a whole new game. But I'm not okay with you allowing the refs to dictate how the game can go after, what, 30 seconds? You cannot do that. You cannot do that. So as much as I am upset, yes, there was a lot of missed calls. I'm pretty sure Denver has a lot of non-calls as well. I've seen Joker cry. And rightfully so. There were some calls that didn't get called his way and didn't get called his way. But what I do know is that at one point, yo, Joker is a hell of a... His strength is amazing. Because he bullied AD. During that stretch in the fourth quarter, to where he tied the game up, when he first tied the game up off that and one, he had AD in there. And remember, well, you can't. I was going to say, remember what I said on the last episode, but the last episode technically never got released because I'm re-recording the last episode. But what I was saying was AD is more athletic than Joker, but that doesn't take away the power that Joker possesses. So you have to use your athleticism in a smart, intelligent, IQ type of way. I think that's where, and I'm not saying that Vando is a much smarter defender than AD, but that's usually what we want Vando for. His focus is to disrupt Joker and knock down some corner threes. He can definitely do that. AD got into foul trouble, but it really didn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? The foul trouble was there. You're in the red because you have four fouls. But at the same time, people, we got to understand, you got to go in. You got to go in. When you get to third and fourth foul, that's when the IQ got to click in. It's no more about the physical part. It's about the what's upstairs going on, your IQ. Gabe, this is still another game where Gabe was just, I think Gabe is just getting his feet wet. You got to remember, Gabe missed majority of the season. So he was just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And his main objective, his main goal is to disrupt Murray. You know what I mean? D'Lo did his thing. He had a bounce back game. I respect it. I love it. Go to the back. You good. Bron, it's hard to criticize a top three player of all time that's on your franchise. Without his production, we don't go anywhere. But at the same time, he takes away from the possibility of us winning every moment that he gets to rock. And he wants to be the guy, so to speak. And I know what the Bron people are saying is, well, I thought that's what you... Yeah, but he's not making great shot selection. As smart as this man is, some of those threes shouldn't have been shot. That offensive foul called a bull in the China shop. And that just shows like, yo, we need somebody to create and get to the basket. That was my main complaint about D'Lo. It's like, yo, we need a guard that's going to draw the defense to the middle of the paint. That's going to open up our shots and we got to knock them down. But when we don't have that, then it's easier for them to contend the three-point shot, which I have to complain about our defense. We're going to get killed on the boards. You can't get killed on the boards and have terrible perimeter defense as well. The last thing I want is KCP to get off, and we definitely don't need a 28-29% three-point shooter in the season of an Aaron Gordon to get off either, because he's going to kill us on the boards. He's going to kill us on fast breaks. Michael Porter Jr. is going to kill us if you leave him open. He can shoot. They have the perfect roster. They got cats that's going to go down there and board, but they can also spread the floor and shoot from the perimeter. That is dangerous because we tend to go and help on Joker, who is a top 10 passer of all time. Besides Stockton, Arvydas Sabonis, White Chocolate, Kevin Johns, all these motherfuckers, Jason Kidd, Chris Paul, Magic Johnson, all these magnificent passers. Joker is right there. Joker is right there. So soon as you collapse on him, he's already getting... not only is he a great passer, his timing of passing, you can't recover from it. Because he can play hot potato. Watch him. He taps all his rebounds to him. Some of the rebounds he doesn't even grab outright. He'll tap it once or twice, and then he'll grab the rebound. And then he is the most elegant. So when people argue against, we have seen these type of players before, and some will say we haven't. In all honesty, all bias aside, we've never seen a center like this. We've never seen a center play so physical yet so soft around the rim, not like that. Yeah, you could say Olajuwon had great strength. He was elegant. Dirk around the rim's elegant. But you've never seen a center like that, and he could bring the ball. Arvydas Sabonis is the closest you can compare to Joker. It's just Joker is more dominant. But they possess the same skill set. They can control a rock, dribbling, great passers, great scorers around the rim, and they can shoot the three ball. And Joker form is ugly, but he can knock that bitch down. That's all that matters. Because Reggie Miller had an ugly form too, but that's cash. Ask New York. Ask Chicago. But at the end of the day, dog, that's what my complaint is about. I can't even give full credit to Darvin Ham. You want to know why? Because there was times during that game where I'm like, well, maybe you should challenge that. Maybe you should call a timeout right here. And he actually did a great job on calling timeouts during the momentum. But we just blew the second game in a row. This is how I know. 12 Cal, if you listening, bro, when I say we take on all fades, this is what I'm talking about. Combined games, we gave up 36 points. We gave up 36 points for them to come back in two games. Up 16 in the first game, up 20 in the second game. That's 36 points within two games that we gave up the lead. The first game, plucked it all off. I 1,000% give Denver credit to that. They made a run. This game is about runs. They made a run when they were supposed to. They adjusted by the second half, and they got in this. Pause. And I think we end up losing by like 11. That's cool. Go back. Get yelled at. Step it up. We end up losing by 1 point. Clutch shot by Murray. Because that's what he does. That's what Murray does. So at the end of the day, man. At the end of the day, dog. That's on us. That's on us. That's IQ on us. I'm not going to say we spent too much time complaining on that particular play, but we did because they were so frustrated at the calls. Or if they, you know what? I don't want to speak for them. I hear a lot of podcasters that got sports podcasts, and it still baffles me to this day how they was in the huddle, how they was in the locker room. How they was in the pregame, and they said, well, it looked like, all right, we can go off of that. That's fair. That's fair, because we're hip-hop fans, and we assume a lot of shit. But I know for a fact that my team complained a lot during that time period about what? Calls. And they were so focused, and you could tell because in the postgame, that's all they talked about. That's all they talked about. Now, I didn't catch the second game of the Knicks game. I didn't catch that one at all, but I heard it was a similar situation with that. I'm not sure. I haven't even seen the highlights. But as far as this game, dog, y'all saw the game. Y'all saw it. And I know most of the people, even my fellow friends, family members, even podcasters, don't like my Lakers. And that is cool. That's the part I like best. I like that we're a squad that's not liked the most. I like that. You know what I'm saying? I get called every Monday to be on the Rap Roundtable to discuss my side of Kendrick and the beef between him and Drake. So I'm representing for my city all day. And I got to find a reason and or excuse, if you let them tell it, on why he hasn't responded and why my Lakers is not holding these leads. Well, it's a game of runs. Now, the only excuse that I could give you is that you still got to respect Denver. You still got to respect them. You know what I'm saying? But we have shown that, dog, we should be able to beat them. Even with a roster, I don't feel like, nah, this ain't it. But it shows that we need all the bodies that we have in order to compete with them. Why? Because they have a formula and we don't have all the players to combat that formula right now. And even when we did in the second game, that shit all fell through when it came to, we didn't shoot particularly well in the second half. 37%, if I'm not mistaken. And here's the most eye-puzzling thing right here. As much as I praise AD, and he recently came out with that, I don't think the league likes me. I'm never going to get defensive player of the year, blah, 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 blah. Soon as that came out, this display happened of, hey, man, they made a run where y'all gave up 20 points. And then Joker bullied you for about two or three possessions straight. Straight, bro. Now, again, I'm not one of those to see something happen to you right now and I say, well, that should eliminate what you was talking about back then. No, that's whack. Now, if you deserve to get defensive player of the year during a regular season, that's one thing. But if you guys is getting bullied in the post, that has nothing to do with the regular season. So I feel you on that one. But you attempted one shot. You didn't score no more. And you dominated. You dominated the first half, AD. You dominated the first half, D'Lo. You dominated the first half. Bron played above average the whole goddamn game. Aggressive, too. I can't complain about him being aggressive and going to the rack and stuff like that. But then I'm like, I find his aggressiveness, this is what I found out with the Lakers. I can't speak on the other teams that he played for. His aggressiveness, when he turns on his aggressiveness to go to the basket, that's when his IQ goes down to me. Now, are you saying that out of disrespect? No, what I'm saying is he tucks his head and his focus is on putting that ball through the rim. That play where he drew that offensive foul, Gabe was sitting in the corner all by himself. The whole goddamn team was surrounded by Bron. At least four out of the five was around. Nobody was on Gabe. Nobody was, and that is a Bron pass that he makes 9 times out of 10. And this was the 10th time he didn't. This was the time he didn't get it. Just go back and watch that. When he had got that offensive foul called on him, I said, damn, Gabe was right there. And I wonder if he seen him, but he still wanted to draw the foul. I don't know. But you could tell that offensive foul was just so obvious. Like, dog. You know what I mean? That KCP dunk on the fast break, that lit they ass up. And we were still in the mix. This goes back to the refs. Never, we can always point our fingers at refs and the missed calls, this, that, and the third. It's so many things that'll make you win or lose a game throughout the game. From tip off all the way to the end of the game. There's so many things. But never, and I mean never, put a game in the refs' hands and then blame the refs. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. And now again, if D'Lo actually goes to that free throw line, makes one out of the two, we got action. That's a different ball game. We might end up winning. It don't happen. Bron got no call. Nothing on the and one. You know, who's to say he would have made the free throw anyway? But we never got that. Never leave it to the refs. That's all I got to say about that. At the end of the day, never leave it to the refs. All right, game three will be on a Thursday. So that means if we play on a Thursday, if we play this Thursday, we got is it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, because we got 2 days off. So that means the next game is most likely going to be on a Saturday. We're going to have another Saturday game. I'm probably going to miss that one because I'm going to be out of town Damn, I can't wait till we get like a Sunday game. But that's it, man. That's I wanted to point out certain situations when you give any professional time enough to get the confidence. Ryan Garcia didn't have home field advantage or home ring advantage, whatever you want to call it. Denver did, but we sucked the life out of that goddamn arena until they made adjustments, until they started locking down on defense, until we got away with what was feeding us, which was feed it to AD, feed it to AD, feed it to AD. It got away from that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. And I want to give a special shout out to KCP because KCP made sure AD didn't get hurt in that little skerfuffle after Murray knocked that shot down. You know, AD fell into their bench and stuff like that. And you know how the bench gets up. It's a lot of chaos and stuff like that. He made sure AD didn't get stepped on or anything like that, right? So shout out to the former teammate. But man, game three and four is must win. At this point, we're looking to go seven games. We can only hope to go seven games. And then after that, it's in God's hands after that. All right, y'all, next week, man.